Welcome to Nashville and Beyond.
I'm Brian Copeland.
And I'm Zach Copeland.
And we're a father-son duo helping people buy, sell, and thrive in Middle Tennessee.
But this isn't just about business. It's also about our family and our community.
It's a front row seat to how we live, work, and serve right here in Music City.
So buckle up as we explore Nashville and Beyond. All right, y'all, welcome. This is episode 2. This week we are talking about something that is on the tip of everyone's tongue. It's at the top of mind for everybody. It's popular in the news. If you turn on the TV, if you read a newspaper, a book, a magazine, you're likely going to see this being talked about. Yeah. It is, of course, AI. But really quickly, before we dive into AI, I just want to mention to everybody that we are not wearing matching shirts this week.
That's so rude.
Not wearing matching shirts.
I almost wore mine today just to make you mad.
Well, we had talked about the last time we did this, what was our attire going to be, because we knew that it was going to be filmed. And I wanted to, you know, kind of dress not so matchy-matchy.
But you wear those shirts all the time.
I do. Almost every time I have a showing, every time we go out and do business,
and
I'm
then
wearing
that shirt. We come over, we're doing a little rehearsal yesterday, and he's like, do we have to wear the shirts? I'm like, what do you mean? I was doing this for you, so
yeah,
surprise.
Yeah. So surprise, you're going to start seeing us in different clothes. We're not always going to be wearing, you know, matching shirts. Sometimes it'll be different. Sometimes we will match.
Our uniformer.
Just depends on what we're feeling that day. But anyway, back to this week's episode, which is about AI, of course. We're not selling AI to anybody today. We're not here to be pro-AI or anti-AI.
we haven't had this conversation yet.
Have our opinions about it.
Yeah.
But we just want to talk really about how it shows up in our lives and in our work. And that's kind of the vibe today. So,
you know, when I think about AI, the first thing that comes to mind for me is 6-finger and 7-finger people and babies with 7 eyes. And a lot of the abuse. I'm sorry to, Zach knows this about me. I'm always wanting to talk about positive things. Like, even when we were talking about the last podcast episode, I was like, let's talk about the things that went really great. I want to always start positive. So for me with AI, but I have to be honest, the question is, what's the first thing that comes to mind when I think AI? And it is some of the crazy stuff I see. And also people who, a big pet peeve of mine, who have decided that their avatar in life needs to look like a certain way, and they look nothing like that person.
Yeah, we call it the Coco Montrese effect.
Oh, gosh.
For those of you who don't know.
Go Google it.
We're huge Drag Race fans.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's this drag queen named Coco Montrese, and she is...
orange.
Girl, why you look so orange?
Orange, yeah.
She has, I wouldn't say mastered, but she has definitely dived headfirst into AI and into using filters and Facetune, and you know, it's pretty obscene sometimes.
And we may have to edit this part out because you may get onto me for this one. But Zach used to work with someone who loved to AI themselves.
Yes.
In the music industry.
Yeah.
And it's like, you look at the and this is national artwork.
Yeah.
And you look at it, it's like, who is that?
Yeah. Yeah.
If I don't know who you are.
Yeah.
I don't want to take it negative. So maybe you can share something positive. When you think about AI, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
I don't want to go too far away from that person that you're talking about yet, because there's a little sting there from the way things ended, but it's totally fine. I'm not bitter at all.
I don't know.
But, you know, they would use AI to enhance their photos. And this was for like album artwork. And it wasn't just their photo or their image that they were enhancing. It was everyone who appeared on any part of the album artwork at all. So not just the album cover, but, you know, the inserts and the, I don't even know what they call them anymore because I'm used to digital.
Liner notes. Stuff.
Liner notes. So they'd have pictures of their family and their family would all be edited and, you know, have 15 or 20 pounds taken off of them and their hair dyed longer and all kinds of crazy stuff like that.
But isn't it funny how we both go to visual on AI when there's so much more to it?
Yeah.
But I think all these pieces, but there's so many other things that happen in AI that go beyond the visual pieces and the photos and the what people consider photoshopping everything. And it's funny that I wasn't expecting you to go to the visual of AI as the first thing you thought of.
Yeah. Well, you know, my actual first memory of AI probably is When I was a kid, I used to love to play simulation games. Okay. So like SimCity, where you would build a city, or The Sims, where you would have your...
Our engineer's nodding his head. the geeks are coming out today.
Where you would have, you know, like a little family that you would build. And at that time, I didn't realize that it was artificial intelligence. You know, I just thought it was simulation. And of course, that's what simulation is artificial intelligence. And so, you know, I'd build these cities and... all these traffic accidents would happen and buildings would randomly catch on fire and people would move in and then move out and businesses would come and go. And that was my first experience with AI.
Had an aha moment.
Yeah.
Because this one right over here, y'all, every time he hears a siren go down the road, he lives about 2 miles from me, and we run the Facebook page for our community. It's got several thousand people in it.
Yeah.
And when he sees in there that someone's like, there's a siren going on, his little Arkansas tail end takes off out the road.
I do.
And so that makes sense to me now, because you did that on Sims. The other day, he was out in a parking lot up in... by Captain D's, because something was going on with the police.
Yep.
And I was like, get away from there, Zach.
Yeah,
this is not a good thing.
Yeah, I forget, there's a name for it. Something tourism.
Nosy. It's called nosy.
Well, nosy.
It's
called
nosy.
Yeah, neighbors. I could be nosy. Yeah. I think accident tourism is what it's called. And I don't condone it. I don't condone it. You know, if there's an accident, stay away. Let the people who are there doing their jobs do what they've got to do. The first responders, we love our first responders. We support them. Thank you for your service.
Mm-hmm. There's a load for you. Well, let's talk about my I can't say my first thing with AI, but the story that sticks out the most is I got invited by Facebook to something called F8. Mm-hmm. Which was a hackathon. Mm-hmm. And if you know what a hackathon is for listeners, it's when you get together over like a 24, 48-hour period, you create a you present a problem, and then you try to solve it through technology. So I was invited in as one of the community leaders. They brought in 100 community leaders to meet with these really high-tech entrepreneurs, many of them...
the elite, honey.
They were unheard of, though, at that point.
Yeah.
And at the end of this, the prize was $50,000 for the best hack. So it wasn't like, you know, notoriety. It was money.
Yeah.
And so these people are pitching their ideas to us. And this guy comes to me and says, I have an idea for a chatbot that goes into Facebook Messenger where people can check their EBT or food stamp balances. And he's like, I'm on food stamps myself. I'm trying to get a break in life. And I know you know all about food insecurity. And I thought it was the dumbest idea in the world. I thought it was so dumb. And so I went to another group. I was kind, but, you know. So he makes it through it. He's by himself. He had no one on his team whatsoever. He presents at the final thing, makes the top 10, and then we're at the final thing. He freaking wins the $50,000 for it. And so we would have split that 50-50, and I wouldn't have done a thing, which I would have felt bad about, because, I mean, this money changed his life.
Yeah.
He calls me about 6 months later. He goes, Brian, guess what? I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina, meeting with XYZ Bank, and they're putting that into their space.
Wow.
This piece of AI, and he was going to make a killing on it. So he went from a food insecure California 20-year-old to a very quickly wealthy off of a piece of AI. So that was my first memorable story with AI. And I learned that sometimes the ideas you have may not be as bad as you think they are.
Yeah, you know, especially with the help of AI, you can get a lot of, and we'll talk a little bit more about this later, but, you know, when you use AI as a collaboration tool, you can find, you know, things that you may not have thought about. Everybody has had some encounter with AI at some point in their life, whether they realize it or not. Even my little brother, your other son, Micah, you know, he's a big fan of the Marvel series.
Yeah.
And one of the Marvel movies that I think everybody in the world has seen is Iron Man. Well, Iron Man is built on this premise that this guy has this AI that's helping him build these Iron Man suits for him.
Thought about it like that.
And it's you know, I forget what the actual AI that he works with is called, but you know, it's always there and it's always helping him build the suits and stuff. So
my chair's squeaking. You hear
your
that?
Chair is squeaking. It's very squeaky. But AI is in everyday life. You know, from things like Netflix recommendations to when you're using Apple Maps or Google Maps or you know, all kinds of stuff AI pops up all the time.
It's funny to think about when, you know, you're a lot younger than I am, but we think about movies from the 80s and 90s. They didn't know what it was, but they were kind of hinting to what it could be like one day.
Yeah.
And I think we just, again, think about bad pictures, but artificial intelligence goes into so many other areas.
Yeah.
You know, and in real estate, obviously, we're doing a lot of it.
Yeah, we are in real estate too. You know, it can be used for things like helping to write listing descriptions. You can use it for things like enhancing photos of listings. Of course, you do have to have disclaimers on those pictures that it's been AI enhanced. You know, it can help you craft social media plans.
Well, before you go into all that, I want to tell a story on you.
Oh boy.
You know, because his first foray into real estate wasn't sales.
Yeah.
He actually had I'm talking to you, I thought you like you're not sitting here. You had this idea of you wanted to start a consulting firm for real estate agents.
Yeah.
Using AI, but it was ahead of its time.
Yeah.
So what happened was people weren't ready to accept it yet. They weren't ready to adopt it. And he came to me. He's like, "Hey, Dad, I really want to get into this." And we created a business plan.
Yeah, we did.
And I love the name of it. We're going to use it one day.
We will.
We went and we studied, you know, what is AI? It's a bridge between places. Mm-hmm. It's the shortest bridge between places. Mm-hmm. And so you and I started doing some work on trying to find what is the name that we would use for
some
that.
Some brainstorming.
And we found in Canada, there is an island that separates the United States and Canada.
It does.
And it's the shortest bridge in the world, and it's called Zavacon.
Yeah.
And so we called his AI consulting firm Zavacon.
Yeah.
Which is such a great name. And again, we will use it again, and you can't use it because I've got it. So if you're trying
it's
to show
trademarked.
It, it's got it, people.
The website has been bought. We have all the rights reserved to
but
it.
But in that,
so.
We learned that real estate wasn't ready yet. Yeah. I mean, you were out there speaking about it. You actually went to we're at Lending Hand today, who helps us with this podcast. You actually went to their conference in Detroit.
Yeah, somewhere close to there.
And
spoke
and spoke about this
at UHW.
Yeah, yeah, United Wholesale Mortgage. And you know, you were working with AI then, but real estate really wasn't ready for it yet.
Yeah.
So you know, you've been with me. You know. Again, we've talked about this. I'm very hesitant. It's not for me. I'm not a tech phobe. You know that about me.
Yeah.
I'm not scared.
You're
to
very pro tech.
But and we'll talk about this later in the podcast. But about relationships.
Uh-huh.
So I've had to learn what are things in real estate that it can help me enhance these relationships.
Yeah.
And that's what you're kind of introducing me to. I'm sorry I interrupted you earlier, but go back to what you were talking earlier with the things that you're doing with it in our business.
Yeah, so in our business specifically, you know, we use it to help write listing descriptions. We use it to help analyze spaces, you know, to create 3D renderings of spaces.
Yeah, true.
We use it to create floor plans of properties. There's so many ways that we use it, and you know, it always goes back to make sure that it is working with you in lockstep as a tool of collaboration, not as a tool of I'm just gonna whatever it outputs is what I'm gonna put out there for the world.
I think this was one of your biggest frustrations when you started, because when you started working with me, you were like, "Hey, I can do this," and I'm like, "No, it can't."
Yeah.
And I would kind of get in little arguments about it. And you're like, "Yes, it can." You're like, "Zach, this is the way this works. This API doesn't work with this." And you're like, "Yeah, it will." And then you got into real estate and you're like,
"Was I wrong?"
Well, because it's a very data-centric place. And this is, and I'm not trying to be this commercial of you have to use a human, but there's a lot of things that happen in real estate that AI can't do.
Oh, yeah.
And you learned that lesson hard because you and I had some hard talks about it. You're like, "This isn't going to take any time and I'll have it done."
Uh-huh.
And then you come back and be like, "It won't do this." And I was like, "Try to tell you that."
Yeah.
You know, but it's something we learned together because I was hoping that you would be right.
Yeah.
But it wasn't.
You know, you had at one point asked me to help clean up the database.
Yeah.
And database is one of the most important things that a realtor, really any business person or entrepreneur has is their database. It's your book of business, past, you know, relationships, past clients, future clients. And you had asked me, "Can you help, you know, clean this database up, get everything organized?" And of course, I thought, "Well, I'll just take all this data, I'll copy it all from all these different websites and places where they exist, and I'll put it into ChatGPT, and I'll say, 'Clean this up for me.'" And it started spitting out the most incoherent nonsense of mismatched names, misspelled names, addresses that didn't exist, and I would go to verify where was it pulling this from? And it was just literally pulling things out of thin air.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of, for me, one of the earlier aha moments that I had in my use of AI as a tool to say, hey, you know, it's great at some things, it's good at some things, and it's terrible at a lot of things. Yeah. So
I remember being so disappointed because I was hoping it really would work because I was like, this is going to get done because we have volumes of data from this 20-year career. You know, and I think about, you know, Box Brownie, which is, you know, they're using AI to help stage photos. And as you said earlier, we have to show this is staged, this is not staged. You know, it's expensive to have that done. And Box Brownie does an excellent job of it. So I tried, you know, because I've used Photoshop. I'm 53. I've used Photoshop since I was 20 years old.
Yeah.
And Adobe introduced Firefly into their suite of products. And so I was so excited about using Firefly because I know Adobe inside out.
Yeah, he's a Photoshop pro.
Yeah. And so when I got in there to do it and I start staging stuff, it looked awful.
Yeah.
And, you know, it referenced photos. And, you know, we're talking about, you know, what are the fails it has? You know, it'd be like simple things like make the grass green, and it would put marijuana all over the place. It's like, what? And so you go in there and tweak it, and it's like, I can't put a whole yard of weed out there in the MLS. Yeah,
exactly.
You know, and it's silly stuff like that. You're like, this is supposed to be smart.
Yeah.
And I hope one day it does get to that point.
Sure.
So it can truly offset some of these crazy things. And, you know, and looking at like the people, we talked about this earlier in our introduction, but, you know, I've tried to do some work on, because I also do photo shoots of people and, you know, trying to comb their hair down when it's too windy.
Yeah.
And man, it'll put 20 eyes on somebody.
Yeah. And I've seen you even play with the tool where, you know, you go in and you specifically draw a circle or a shape around the only thing that you want it to edit is within this shape, within the confines of this shape that I'm drawing. Don't touch anything outside of it. And you'll give it a prompt like, change this shirt to blue. And then suddenly the person has blue skin.
Yeah.
Or, you know, remove this tree in the background and replace it with the rest of the background. Just continue the background on. Yeah. And then all of a sudden there's an ice cream shop in the background.
Yeah.
That it's like, where does this stuff come from? So I think we're definitely, you know, while we're not in the early adoption stage of AI anymore, I think enough people have become aware of it and enough businesses have started using it and adopting it where we're not quite in that early adoption stage. There is still so much work and research to be done on really improving these tools so they work the way you want them to work.
Yeah, and I mean, we got to talk about fair housing.
Yeah.
I mean, many don't know that what you put into AI is what you get out. And if you go in there and you're just copying and pasting listing descriptions, and there could be fair housing violations all over the place.
Yeah.
And there's things that we've got to be very careful as in real estate, not because of the law, but because it's the right and the wrong thing to do.
Right.
And we always want to be correct, and we don't want to use terms that will steer people away from a home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to welcome single people to homes and not say it's a family home.
Right.
You know, you say, Brian, that's silly. That's so PC. No.
Yeah.
You want to make sure that we're marketing to all people at
right.
that point.
Exactly.
So AI can really miss that mark. So yeah, sorry to get off that tangent.
You know, speaking of making sure that, you know, everything is within compliance, we talked about fair housing. We talked about Realtors Code of Ethics, how we have to make sure that we stay in bounds and that we're doing our due diligence and that legally we are compliant.
All right, so we're back from break.
We're back. We're back.
Yeah, felt good.
Yeah,
you actually did take a break.
Yeah, we did take a break. So the next thing we're going to be talking about today is how much AI is too much AI. So to give a little bit of background, you know, I mentioned in last week's episode in the introductions that I worked for TikTok and then I got to learn about AI while I was working at TikTok. Specifically, what I did at TikTok for 3 years was help train an AI program on people's behaviors based off of feedback that we were getting from users, based off of data that we were getting, and there are hundreds of thousands of data points per user.
Are you going to put that into layman's terms? Like, could you give a story on that? Like, what's an example of that?
Yeah. So for example, you know, when we would get information on a user, when you would create your account on TikTok, you know, you would obviously use your email or your phone number, or you would link it with a Facebook account or a Google account or something like that. And so you would start to interact with the app after you created your account. Well, you know, we were able to see incredibly detailed, specific information about all kinds of behaviors that you would have on the app, like how long you watched videos, what part of the videos you tended to engage with and interact with. At what point in the video did you double tap it? Was it right when you started watching the video? Was it after they said a certain phrase? Did you comment certain things? Did you share it with certain people? Those people you shared it with, what is your history of relationship with that person on the app, on the platform? And so all of these data points were just feeding this machine to learn more about human behavior so that it could more accurately push out content to people that wanted to have access to certain kinds of content. And there's lots of people in different camps about this that would say, oh, that's too much, or that's not enough. We need to go further. You know, I personally am a fan of AI, but I'm also very cautious of it being used in wide scale applications around human behavior.
Did you see the lawsuit that was recently filed about the family, their son
on ChatGPT?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a thing called AI psychosis.
Uh-huh.
And of course, people they're losing touch with the reality of
yeah.
it. And we hear these stories. I'm real big about not telling these.
Well, there was a movie made about it called Her.
Yeah, but I'm really big about not telling the crazy stories.
Yeah,
but these have been more consistent.
Yep.
Especially with really young people. There's a huge argument right now that no one under the age of 18 should even be using any kind of AI.
Yeah.
Because of the relationships. That the computer doesn't understand these relationships.
Right.
And the suit that was recently filed against Chat was about a son. These two parents had filed the suit because of some of the conversations it was having.
Yeah.
Google the story. I don't want to go deeply into it, but you know, we'll put it in the show notes for you. We'll share it on Instagram so you can find out a little bit more about that whole notion of the psychosis.
AI-induced psychosis. And, you know, it's like you said, it's absolutely becoming more prevalent. We're seeing more and more people developing close relationships, even to some extent intimate relationships with artificial intelligence. And it is scary. I'm not going to lie. It's scary.
Tell me about some of the conversations you've had with your chat.
Yeah.
It kind of worried me at one point. You're like, well, I don't do it all the time, because you told me that one time. And I was like, what are you doing? And then you're like, I don't. You know,
There are certainly times when I would use ChatGPT as a quasi therapist, and it was really more of me just voicing my opinion in a space that was completely safe, and I knew I would not have any opinions from anybody on what I thought, because it's not giving out opinions. It's just, you know, saying, okay, this is cool that you think that. What are some ways that you can overcome this feeling, or what are some ways that you can, you know, grow from this feeling? So it does tend to make things less authentic when you communicate with it, because it's not speaking from a human experience. It's only speaking from an artificial experience. Yeah. And that kind of goes back to the relationship piece that we talked about earlier, where when you're using artificial intelligence to mimic a human experience, it's always going to fall flat every single time, because it lacks understanding and a depth of emotion and a reality of experience in what it means to be human, which is far beyond what can be communicated via text.
And speaking of human, I've not told you something. And again, y'all don't know the background on this, so you're listening to this going, what's the big deal about it? Something shipped last night from McDonough, Georgia, to our house, and it should arrive today.
I cannot wait for this.
You start the story.
Who's the character it's after? Remind me of that.
Okay, so I was scrolling through Facebook, uh-huh. and then my ad feed Dolly shows
Parton.
Up.
Yep,
Dolly Parton.
He's scrolling through Facebook, and this ad pops up for this Dolly Parton doll that looks
emotional support Dolly
it's
Parton.
An emotional support
it's so
doll.
Cute.
Yeah, so it's this like crocheted yarn textured image. It looks so cute. It looks
adorable. It's so precious.
It looks adorable. I have been waiting.
I ordered this thing. And he was like, please order it because you know it won't look like that. And I'm like, and part of me, like, most of the things you see online, you're like, oh, I want that t-shirt. It's not even created yet.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, or you see something that's amazing. It doesn't exist.
Yeah, they're just waiting on somebody to buy it and then they'll print it.
I ordered this thing. We don't know when you're listening to this podcast. So right now, we're currently almost in September of 2025. I ordered this thing in May of 2025, and it's still not here yet.
Yeah.
And so my AI Dolly Parton doll has shipped from Madonna, Georgia. It was out of some foreign country. I'm not sure where. Made it through over these past few months. They finally created it. And so we're going to get the Dolly Parton of Emotional Support AI doll, and we're going to open it up for you on one of our podcasts. It won't be the AI episode because obviously it's already aired in our future episodes, but we're going to just break our theme that week because we are going to show you this Dolly Parton doll.
Yeah.
So I didn't tell you it's hopefully going to be here today.
I'm beyond excited for this. I have been looking forward to this moment, like I said, waiting with bated breath to hold this doll and to see what it looks like in real life, because I know it's just going to be tragic. It's going to be so tragic, and I can't wait. I cannot wait.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you order things online versus what you received, there's a lot of memes about that, and I can't wait for people to see the before and after. Yeah, so,
and part of the things we were talking about getting ready for this podcast was what excites us the most and what worries us the most.
Yeah.
We've talked about the worry. The exciting stuff is like, what if these silly things do come through right? What are some amazing things that are created that we didn't think through? We've used AI to help us come up with some marketing campaigns. We had all the words.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'd brainstorm for an hour. And I remember you going into chat on something and saying, here's all of our information. And it popped out the perfect two words that we were looking for.
Yeah, exactly.
So those are the things that excite me about it. So, yeah. So now we're just going to do a new section, a little segment that we've not done in a podcast before. We'll see how it goes. We're calling it the Nashville Rathers. It's going to look a little bit into what it thinks. And this is not going on AI. You know, it's going to be, you know, whatever the segment is, probably go outside that segment. We're going to ask each other a question that we don't know what we're going to ask the other one. And we're going to have to make a decision. So I've got the first question for you today.
Okay,
in this section on Nashville Rathers. Okay. Which would you rather?
Okay.
So your two choices are, you can never have another Whataburger.
Oh, God.
Or the Nashville Accordion Society goes away forever.
Oh, God.
You have to pick one. Which rather?
Oh, God. This is tough, y'all. This is tough. Okay, so for those of you who don't know, I play accordion. I've just recently picked it up. But it's kind of come pretty easy because there's, you know, a keyboard on the side of it.
But that story.
Yeah, so
we'll get off task, and that's okay. This will be a long segment.
Yeah, this will be kind of long. Pop's grandmother, my great-grandmother, was an accordion player, amongst many other things.
It's your great-grandmother.
Yeah, my great-grandmother was an accordion player, among many other things. And she had this beautiful accordion that she passed down to her son, my grandpa, my papa. We were, you know, over at his house one day. For some family karaoke night or something. He's got a huge guitar studio, and we love to just go over there and hang out and play. He's got keyboards and drums and ukuleles and fiddles and guitars and band.
Steel guitars.
Yeah, any string instrument you can imagine, he's probably got.
My dad can play it, yeah.
And so we were over there having a music night, and I saw this accordion box sitting over in the corner, and so I wanted to play it, and so I picked it up and started playing it, and fell in love with it.
Yeah.
Just absolutely fell in love with it. And he said, well, why don't you take it home?
My mama, I remember playing that in church.
Yeah.
And she, you know, mama was rotund. Mm-hmm. I mean, mama would...
A burly woman, some might say.
She tipped the scales. That's no secret. And so it's accordions over your, you know, if you don't know what accordion is, I mean, go Google it. But, you know, it's
squeeze
over,
box.
It's a squeeze box that goes over your, and, you know, so she had this thing going over her stomach, and and she'd play that thing, and she'd go run up and down the miles of that Pentecostal church.
Uh-huh.
And actually, and this is gross, but there's her blood's on that accordion.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, because she'd play so hard, she'd just start bleeding.
Yeah.
You know, and that is just, she just loved that accordion. So it was fun to watch you pick it up.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you actually ended up getting your own accordion now, and he you know, he says his next big closing, he's going to buy another accordion.
Yeah, there's an accordion that I want. Feel free to buy it for me if you're listening and have some extra money and just want to do something nice for
me. We'll put it in the show notes, too.
We'll put it in the show notes, the link to the accordion. But, you know, I Where would we go with this? Oh, the Nashville Accordion Society.
So. No, you want to buy the one. Yeah, the Nashville Accordion Society.
Yeah, so I'm going to buy one. So I play accordion, and I recently found out that there's this group called the Nashville Accordion Society. Mm-hmm. And in the Nashville Accordion Society, you've got, you know, all skill levels.
Yeah.
All skill levels. He actually went with me to the first meeting that I went to. They meet on the first Thursday of every month at Bavarian Beer House over in the Opry Mills area.
Yep.
There's a bunch of them that are...
And the talent's insane.
Yeah, the talent's insane. People are playing some polka music. People are playing some Romanian music.
On the Opry. They go leave there and go to the Opry and play.
Yeah, leave the Nashville Accordion Society meeting and walk over to the Grand Ole Opry and play because that's what they do for a living. And there are accordions of all sizes and ranges in price. I mean, people there have, you know, $40 little squeeze boxes that have got two buttons on both sides.
And this is how obsessed you are with accordion playing, because he responds to a text in 2 seconds with me. If he doesn't respond, he's either taking a nap, but he goes in do not disturb on that situation, or he's playing the accordion.
Yeah.
And so there's times where I won't hear back from you in like 2 hours, and I'm like, he's playing his accordion.
I
get a hold of you, you're like, I was playing the accordion.
Yeah, that's what I was doing. So, Nashville Accordion Society, super awesome. Shout out to y'all. Thanks for having me last month. And I can't wait to go back again next week, actually.
Yay!
Today's Friday, right? So, it'll be next Thursday, which is the first week of September.
My days are all messed up right now.
So, my other passion in life, my other love in life, you know, I'm not proud of it.
Yeah, because you used to weigh 120 wet.
I did. And I'm pushing 190 now. And that is in no short part thanks to Whataburger.
Yeah.
I love Whataburger. They know my name when I walk in.
Spicy ketchup.
Yeah, spicy ketchup. I actually ordered a spicy ketchup keychain and got it because they had on the Whataburger website, of all possible things that they could have, they had this like Dia de los Muertos kind of skeleton looking figurine with a big orange sombrero hat on.
Why are you nodding over there? Are you a Whataburger
fan? Are you a Whataburger fan too?
You're over there smiling like a cat.
So we had
you're an addict too, I can tell.
So he got this big sombrero on and he's playing of all things an accordion. So this figurine that they had on the best of both worlds combined my two loves, Whataburger and accordion. So I ordered that and, you know, got the free keychain that's like a little bottle of spicy ketchup.
And I've busted you sometimes. Sometimes I'll text and say, what are you up to? Because I'm running errands. And I'll be actually around the Whataburger and your truck will be sitting over there. It's like, that's not an errand. It's between Crumble Cookie and Whataburger.
Yeah.
Those are your addictions. So ultimately, you have to pick.
So, gosh.
One's got to go.
If one had to go, you know... I think I could live without Whataburger. I know that's probably not the answer you were expecting.
Not at all.
You know, there's such value in an organization like the Nashville Accordion Society, and there are other burgers out there. There are ways to make my own spicy ketchup. Whataburger, I'm gonna miss you.
I never
RIP Whataburger. I hate that we had to leave on these terms, but the Nashville Accordion Society gets it for me. So.
Hello, Pharmacy Burger, here you come.
Pharmacy Burger, I'll eat McDonald's. I don't mind eating McDonald's.
You do.
Yeah. I guess I'm not really a big fan of Burger King. Hardee's, I love.
We went to ML Rose last night.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Oh my gosh. The one in Inglewood.
Yeah.
It just opened and they're so eager to have people in there. They're so kind and so friendly.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need to check it out.
I will.
You'll like
the
burger.
For sure. All right, y'all. Well, when we come back, we're going to briefly.
What about my rather? Do I not get a rather?
No, I thought we were just doing one on one.
Just you? Okay.
Yeah,
that's
just one on one.
Well, get me rather next time.
Yeah, we'll get you a rather one next time. So when we come back, y'all, we're going to talk about where AI is going to be in the future, what we think is coming down the pike for AI. Excited to talk about that, and we'll see you soon.
Let's get one of our stand rings closed.
So yeah, we'll get a stand ring closed.
All right,
be back in a minute.
Zach had a good little walk around.
I did. I went and got
studio
a snack
here. You couldn't get your snack open.
You're
so excited about that snack. All that Whataburger talk made you hungry.
I know. I was like, I'll give them some ASMR and open up the wrapper,
open.
And I can't even get it open. I'll have to chew through it or cut through it or something.
So we're now going to talk a little bit about the future of AI and looking ahead. I'm going to lean on you for this one. I want this to be more of a conversation with you educating me on this because I want to hear your point of view on this. So let's look at 5 years from now.
Yeah.
And let's try to focus in real estate on this if we can, but if you need to stray from it, it's fine.
Sure.
Where do you see, because AI is changing so rapidly.
Yeah.
Where are we going to be in 5 years with this?
Yeah, you know, I think as it pertains to real estate, AI in the next 5 years, you're going to be looking at a lot of agents out of work, in my opinion. I think it won't be the good agents. It'll be the agents that are mediocre. The agents who don't have great relationship skills. Because the people who go to an agent in a purely transactional way and not in a relational way are not going to need them anymore, because all the transaction can be done through artificial intelligence. The people who value relationships, which is most of our client base, will continue to use realtors who also value relationships. I think, you know, there's this problem right now with AI where it's, you ask it a legal question or a medical question, and it says, I can't answer that question because I don't have, I cannot be used in that way, because if I give you incorrect information, then you can come back and sue me as a, you know, as a platform. And we had talked about that earlier being an issue. I think over the next 5 years, we'll start to see some legislation that allows AI more protection in the way
to happen.
In the way that it gives advice. I don't think that's a good thing, but
where's personal responsibility in this, Zach?
Yeah, there is a lot of personal responsibility. You know, people have to, at a certain level, you can't trust everything it says.
And to me, it's not a partisan issue either. It's a matter of, you know, where the legislation comes from. People have got to have personal responsibility. And if they're leaning so much on it, it's just that I think the youth piece has got to be the protection of youth is where we'll probably see a lot of legislation, in my opinion. But you've been
Absolutely. You know, we're already seeing countries around the world that are really hamping down on no technology, no social media for youths under the age of 16 or even up to 18. Some countries are doing it. And I am all in favor of that. Believe it or not, I think it's a great idea. I think, you know, social media should not be allowed for children. I think children should not have access to artificial intelligence.
But when you're looking at this next generation also, I think there's this stereotype that that's all they want. Yet we're seeing a comeback of compact cameras.
Yeah.
I mean, right now in Japan, the compact camera's back, because the iPhone and smartphones got rid of compact cameras.
Yeah.
And as a photographer, you know, I love my DSLR. But you don't see, you know, Panasonics and Lumix and all these little. Yeah. Now they've made a huge comeback, because you look at Esther, you know, who's now 11. She loves her little Polaroid camera now. Yeah. And that generation, and even the, you got a buyer right now. How old is he? 24. Yeah. He's really leaning on advice. He's not using technology. He's wanting to have relationships. And we're seeing that a lot with our youngest buyers. We don't have a lot of young sellers because we're just not there yet.
Yeah.
But our youngest buyers, they want advice. So that's where I'd put, you know, and again, it's a conversation, and you, again, know more than I do about it. I think with the next generation coming up, they're going to get more away from it in real estate, in my opinion. But
I do think there is a consumer basis that absolutely is going to move way far away from it. And those are the people who value relationships.
Yeah.
You do have, you know, there's this kind of crossroads that a lot of young people are at right now, where they have the choice of, do I dive deeper into seclusion and isolation and a tech-centric, tech-heavy world and spend all my time indoors, away from people, away from community,
right,
and focused on technology and social tools and platforms? And the other side of that is the complete opposite. The people who are out making friends and playing sports, and, you know, even if it's not sports, you know, going out to a chess tournament or a Dungeons and Dragons tournament or whatever it is. I don't know if the Dungeons and Dragons has tournaments or not.
Your nerd's sticking out. Tuck it back in. Yeah. Your nerd is sticking out. Yeah. Well, and the funny thing is also, we've got our first generation of college students who were COVID kids.
Yeah.
They just entered college 2 years ago, and they went through online learning, and they don't want that.
Yeah.
They want to be in person. So it's interesting, this generation, what they're doing. So let's think through, if you could have one thing taken off your plate that AI could do for you, whether in real estate or not, what would be the one thing that you would have come off your plate?
It would have to be, you know, the actual posting on social media platforms. That to me is the most tedious part of it, is, you know, you come up with the caption with the help of AI, you come up with the hashtags with the help of AI, you create the content with the help of AI, but you actually have to still manually go in and pull all the stuff in and post it. It can even come up with a marketing plan for you that says, day one, you need to post this kind of content. Day three, you need to post this kind of content. Day five, so on and so forth. But you still have to physically gather up all of this stuff that you've created into one folder. We have it on our Google Drive. We've got a folder that's social media, and then there's a bunch of subfolders and even more subfolders from that, unless you cleaned it up, because I know you were doing some cleanup this week on that.
It's still messy.
Great. It's normal for us. But you have to still go in and pull all these things together and go to this platform and post it and go through the tedious process of that. You know, I think that's probably what I would love to see AI be able to handle.
Mine's easy.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm real big about floor plans on every house.
Yeah.
There's a good chance, of course, we're in a mortgage company right now recording this, but sometimes you get appraisal waivers based on having a floor plan. That was something that happened several years ago. So I'm a big believer in having floor plans on all of our listings.
Yeah.
I've gotten two appraisal waivers over the past month because I had a floor plan on there. And so in that, the software we use is AI-based. Mm-hmm. However, you have to place these arrows around. We have to go in and shoot the house. And then there's this tedious process of zooming out, renaming the room, and placing the arrow.
So annoying.
I've got the kids, the little ones, where they can do it.
Yeah.
But you know, there's you do it a lot too, because there's this arrow process. And if I could get rid of that process and AI could, if I could literally just upload those photos and it just figure out the floor plan, do all that piece, that would make my life easy.
I see an opportunity here for a collaboration with a floor plan company and perhaps Meta or Ray-Ban, who have the Meta or Ray-Ban video glasses.
Oh, that'd be spectacular.
Where you just put these glasses on and you just go walk through the house, and within hours, there's a floor plan. There's all the arrows are in there for you. It automatically identifies what kind of room it is based on the furniture that's in the room. You know, there's something there for sure. So
please do it.
Yeah, please do it. Please do it.
I'm not doing it. But y'all do it. I got too much to go on.
Well, y'all, that's about all the time that we have for today. We're going to wrap things up here. You know, I think we've done a lot of great talking and discussing about AI. And
I want to hear from everybody else, too. So, you know, y'all email us, you know, brian@nashvilleandbeyond.com, zach@nashvilleandbeyond.com. Go to our Instagram, NAB Nashville, and leave us comments. Let us know how you're using AI, because we want this to be interactive through this.
Yeah, we definitely want some discourse. Leave your thoughts. Leave us your feedback.
Your Nashville Rathers.
Yeah, your Nashville Rathers. If there's something you are really a fan of, or that you know one of us is really a fan of, send us a Nashville Rathers. We'll do it live here on air. So
nothing artificial about that. Very intelligent.
That's right. That's right.
Horrible pun.
Thanks, y'all. We'll see you next time here on Nashville and Beyond. This podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It does not constitute legal, financial, or real estate advice. Listeners should always consult licensed professionals for guidance specific to their situation. Brian and Zach Copeland are licensed real estate agents with Compass 615-522-5100. Kevin Kinnerson, MLS number 171733 with Lendingham Mortgage, is the executive producer. Engineer Mike Reeves. Music Dusty Boots by Ecoleaks. Nashville and Beyond, copyright 2025.
Thank you.